This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
216-474-0092. Let's get down and dirty, though, on a team that is absolutely perfect to start the season. And the man that knows it all, the guy that we trust when it comes to Cavalier coverage, at least in the next 12 or 13 minutes, that has to be Chris Fedor from Cleveland.com. And the Plain Dealer. Hello, Chris. How are you?
Christopher.
Good afternoon, guys. I'm doing great. How are you?
Good. How was your flight? You just got back from New York?
Yeah, I just landed about 40 minutes ago. Flight was nice and smooth, nice and easy. I got the first class upgrade, so I don't hate that. You know.
Wow.
When you travel as much as I do, there are certainly perks to the job. And Marriott points are one of them, and flight status is another one. It's the little things in life that make me happy.
Chris, outstanding. This is why I like you and why I trust you. Other reporters would try to hide behind that. They would just say, I'm just not like, just be average Joe. But you are willing to share and share the good times with us. And that is why I appreciate you. I just want you to know that.
You know, one of my old mentors told me a long time ago that doing radio is just talking about life. So here I am talking about life.
So good.
That's heavy.
So good.
That's heavy. So you make a move. You move on from a defensive-minded head coach who did a great job here and brought the team along one step every year, it seemed, replaced him with an offensive-minded coach. And through four games, the Cavaliers are the second highest scoring team in the NBA. They lead the NBA in field goal percentage. They're second in three-point percentage, all while not shooting a whole lot. 22nd in field goals attempted and 18th in threes attempted. That's pretty impressive.
Yeah, it's what they wanted when they went with Kenny Atkinson, right? Usually when you make a change in coach, you're looking for somebody who is the antithesis of the previous guy. If you go back to the Cavs following the loss in the playoffs against the Knicks 2 years ago, you know, decision makers in this organization sat down with J.B. Bickerstaff, and I don't want to say they gave him an ultimatum, but they told him, you need to make this offense more dynamic. You need to make this offense more creative. You need to make this offense less predictable. And there were points during last season that the offense was humming along, and they were shooting threes, and they were playing a modern style, and they were getting the ball up and down the floor, and they were playing with spacing and all that kind of stuff. But once they got into a playoff environment again, and look, part of it is they didn't have Jared Allen for eight of the games of the playoffs. They didn't have Donovan Mitchell for the last couple against Boston. But when they got into that playoff environment again, and things were really, really difficult, and it was a half-court game, and it was about strategies, and it was about schemes, and it was about execution, you know, the Cavs once again had a limited offense, a flawed offense that was exposed in a playoff environment. So they went out, and they got Kenny Atkinson because they want things to be different. They don't want to go away from the defense-first team that they are. They don't want to go away from the identity that they created that was so successful for the last 4 years. But they want to enhance this team, and they want it to take the next step. And the only way that they were going to be able to do that, guys, is to create an offense that was one that would complement the stingy defense that they already had. And in the first four games, it's a small sample size, obviously, but in the first four games, you're seeing signs of that.
So I know this is kind of a simpleton question, but I know they're 4-0 and they haven't lost, so everything feels good right now, but can you feel like a vibe change? And I'm not trying, you know what I'm saying? Like, are the players totally bought into what they're doing right now? And can you feel a difference of even just confidence from these? Because, like, when I watch Evan Mobley, I think, all right, I'm seeing more confidence than I've seen before, and I like the way he's playing the game, and I like the aggressive play that he's. Can you see that? I mean, you're around it 24/7, so.
Yeah, there's no doubt about it, guys. And Donovan was asked about it following the game last night, and Darius was asked about it following the game last night. And players have been asked about it over the last week. Like, is it too soon to say that we're seeing the influence of Kenny Atkinson on this basketball team? And all of the guys said, no, it's not too soon. You can see it. You can feel it. And I think the thing that stands out to me is that there is a belief in this coach that he's going to do the things that make this offense great. When they get Max Strus back, they should go to a different level, right? When they get more time together with these rotations and these lineups, when Evan Mobley gets more comfortable being used the way that he's being used right now, which is different from early in his career in the NBA, when that all comes together, there is a strong belief that the Cavs are going to be really, really dynamic and really, really forward-thinking on the offensive end of the floor, where, you know, if defenses start to try and take away some of the stuff that they want to do, similar to what happened against the Knicks 2 years ago and last year against the Magic, that they have a coach, they have an X's and O's coach that is going to be prepared for that. He's going to make the adjustments, and he's going to do it quickly, and he's going to have more answers than the previous one on the offensive end of the floor.
Kenny had talked about playing 9-10 deep, and so far, what, 10 guys are averaging at least 14 minutes a game? So that's mission accomplished so far. Do you like that?
Yeah, I do, because I think they have playable depth. That's what it comes down to. You know, there were various points last year, guys, where J.B. Bickerstaff didn't have 10 or 11 guys that he felt comfortable and confident to go to.
Might not have had seven on certain nights.
Yeah, I mean, because they just weren't performing well enough to get those minutes or to get that trust from the coaching staff. This is a little bit different, right? Ty Jerome is an NBA backup point guard, and Kenny Atkinson went away from him in the second half against New York, but in the first three games, he was giving them quality minutes. He was stabilizing that second unit. He was big in that second quarter turnaround against Detroit in the home opener. So when he's playing that kind of basketball, it takes pressure off Darius Garland, Donovan Mitchell. They don't have to play as many minutes. They don't have to be reliant on creating offense and being the primary playmakers and all those different things. And maybe it's not a huge deal right now in October because Kenny Atkinson's still working through it. And he's still trying to figure out what works, what doesn't work, what lineups don't work, all those different things. But I think that the way that Donovan, the load that Donovan had to carry last year for a variety of reasons that obviously took a toll on him, and the load that Jared Allen had to carry at various points last season, again, for a variety of reasons, that took a toll on him. And this team physically wasn't in the place that they were hoping to be at going into the playoffs, where they felt like they could give their best, where they felt like they could give their best shot to the Boston Celtics in the Eastern Conference semifinals. And the hope is that if you don't run these guys into the ground, and if you don't demand so much of them in the regular season, that when the playoffs roll around, they're going to be in a different place, both physically and mentally. And if the Cavs can get to that point, then maybe it can be a different outcome in the playoffs this year.
Chris, I thought it was interesting. Coach last night talked about schedule. Schedule's going to get tougher. I do think, though, when you look at the big picture of the schedule, yes, they have Boston twice before Christmas, but they don't have a ton of travel before that. You know, you've got one long trip to Miami's like the longest flight before until after Christmas when they go off to Denver. So two-part question then. You know, obviously the schedule is going to get a little bit tougher because they played some of these teams, but the wear and tear road travel doesn't seem severe until you get to Christmas, after Christmas.
That's certainly part of it. I will say this. The beginning of the schedule was not favorable from that standpoint for the Cavs. It was favorable in terms of the teams that they played against, right?
Yes,
they were
right.
Given figurative layups against Toronto, Detroit, and Washington, some of the dregs of the NBA. But
right.
Three games in four nights, three of those on the road,
true.
Tough way to open. And I feel like because Kenny was willing to rely on his depth and expand his rotation, and because the Cavs did what they were supposed to do against the lesser opponents, take care of business in the first three quarters, and then they don't have to play their guys in the fourth quarter, right? The game's out of hand. The game's decided already. So if they can capitalize on those opportunities throughout this schedule, once they get through what is a gauntlet week for them against Los Angeles and Orlando and Milwaukee twice, you know, when you play against the worst of the worst and you're considered a championship contender and that's how the Cavs view themselves, then make it so that you don't have to play your guys in the fourth quarter. That's what Boston does all the time. That's what Golden State did when they were winning championships. That's what the Cavs did when they were getting to the finals four straight years. Those things add up throughout the course of the season, and it was nice to see from the Cavs' perspective, you know, they didn't have to play their guys in the fourth quarter against Washington. They didn't have to do it in the opener against Toronto. Those things matter. Those things accumulate over the course of the year. And if the Cavs can continue to do that and rely on their depth to take them home and build leads and not give up leads and stuff like that, it's going to be really, really beneficial for them.
Chris Fedor joining us from the Plain Dealer, Cleveland.com. Chris does a great job covering the Cavaliers all season long. Is the lack of an abundance of tall guys a concern, or does the style of offense maybe alleviate some of that?
I'll say this. I mean, I think there are certain teams, guys, that will show up more against than others. They certainly haven't run into those teams yet.
No.
But, I mean, the way that this team is constructed, they have the pieces that they have, and they have to find ways to work around that the best that they can. Are they Boston, loaded with all-star caliber wings? No, they're not. But not a lot of teams have the front court size to match up with Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, and the skill and the quickness and the athleticism to match up with those guys. So I definitely think there's some give and take. And I think there are some things that J.B. Bickerstaff had to do to try and work around those limitations. And I think there are things that Kenny's going to have to do to work around those limitations. In saying that, you know, putting Dean Wade, 6'9", 6'10", as the small forward on this team certainly changes the dynamic. And it changes the look. And it changes some of the matchups and stuff like that. I'm not saying that, you know, he's going to be the starting small forward the rest of the way. But it gives the Cavs a different look that they can see right now, and if it works out well, it's one that they can go to in certain matchups and things like that.
Chris, your thoughts on the James family reunion that's about to happen?
I think it is so special. For all the things that people want to say about Bronny and the kind of player that he's going to be into the future and all of the reasons why he's in Los Angeles, basically rigging the draft so that he went 55th overall. For him to share the court with LeBron on opening night and check in at the same time with LeBron is so special. And for them now to be preparing for Wednesday night, being back in Cleveland, where LeBron started his career, 45 minutes from where Bronny was born, he walked those halls. He was in those locker rooms. He was on that court after games taking shots and stuff. Like, I can't even imagine the emotions that are going to be pouring out of everybody in the James family and everybody around their circle, because it is a once-in-a-lifetime event, and it's going to be really, really cool Wednesday night when they check in at the same time or they share the floor at the same time. And I'm just really, really happy that people, hopefully, can start to see the bigger picture of what all of this is about. And for LeBron, who has given so much to the NBA, and he's sacrificed so much, and he's given up so much of his time, and he's missed so many things, to become the player that he is right now, to have the reward of playing alongside his son, and then doing it in Cleveland at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, that is going to be so, so special. And I love the fact that it's going to happen tomorrow night. And I can't wait to see what the emotions are going to be like for the entire James family. It's crazy to think about Bronny and all the time that he spent in that building as a young kid. And now seeing him as an NBA player alongside LeBron, it's just, you know, it's mind-boggling and it's super special for everybody involved.
So Jeff and I were talking before the show about Bronny's future. So it sounds like he's going to stay on this trip and then probably head back to the G League. Does that sound like what you're – and he hasn't seen a whole lot of time since that first game, so we're kind of hoping 3 minutes.
No time since the first game.
Yeah, so we're kind of – we're hoping that they will –
oh, they got a plan.
Yeah, I mean, I
got
to believe they play him too. I mean, I think back to all those great games he had at Old Trail. Oh, wait a minute, no, just kidding about that. But I mean, they got to play.
No, you're not kidding. He did.
Did you ever see him play at Old Trail?
No, I did.
I was
not.
About to say all that seventh grade buzzer beater he won to win the championship. And he said, "Old Trail, this one's for you."
Yes, he played lacrosse too there.
No, I just he will play, right? I mean, fans going, and I'm assuming Bronny's going to get a giant. He'll get an ovation too, right? I mean, he'll get
I hope he doesn't get a video tribute.
I don't know what that would entail. Maybe him in the back seat of the car for the parade when everybody was scorching in the sun and sweating, and nobody had bottles of water and stuff like that.
That's true.
Maybe that'll be part of it. But look. You know, when they drafted Bronny, they had a plan for opening night. They executed it the way that they wanted to, where both of them were standing at the scorer's table and they entered at the same time. You better believe that they understand the big picture, and you better believe that they understand the moment of Wednesday night. And they have an idea. J.J. Redick has an idea, and he's going to carry it out in some kind of way so that they share the floor at the same time at Rocket Mortgage Fieldhouse, because this For LeBron and Bronny, besides the opening night, this is as big as it gets to have it happen here in Cleveland. And he's going to play, and then after that, yes, guys, I do believe the plan is to send him to the G League. Because when you're the 55th overall pick in the draft, and you're on a team like the Lakers, with that level of history and with playoff aspirations, you don't play big minutes. Right?
No.
You go to the G League and you develop away from the cameras, out of the spotlight, and you do the things that you need to do from a development standpoint to maybe possibly work your way into becoming an NBA rotation player. I don't know if that's going to happen. I don't know if he has that level of skill to become that in his career. And that's why he's going to spend a majority of this season in the G League trying to show and learn all the things that he needs to learn to become that kind of player, maybe possibly.
And Chris, whether he has a great, bad, whatever NBA career, thank God he's alive. You know, I mean, everything he went through, just thank goodness.
Yeah. And whether he becomes like a really, really talented NBA player or a big part of the Lakers' future, he's always going to have October 23rd and he's always going to have October 30th. And those are memories that are going to last a lifetime.
Chris, as always, we love your perspective. Thank you so much. And we'll be reading you on the plaindealercleveland.com all the time, my friend. Thank you.
You got it, guys. Anytime.
All right. Chris Fedor was on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Time for a 2020 with Andrew Hody.